Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today you're going to get to hear from Seth Colton as he presents to you his answers to the DIF4Q. And what are the DIF4Q? They are, and I think I've gotten pretty good at this, the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are favorite films, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. I did an interview with Seth Colton for his film Obsessed Memorial Day, which is one of the funniest shorts you're going to see. You can go to discoverindiefilm.com to watch it right now. Considering Seth has appeared on Broad City and Workaholics and American Horror Story and makes such great comedies, I was curious just how much comedy was going to be in his DIF4Q. It's time to find out.
Okay, so mine might be a little bit different because I view films in a very specific way. I'm not somebody who typically goes and watches because of a performance or because of an actor or because of a director or because of a soundtrack. I go because I'm attached to the memories of the time when I watched it and what my life meant at that time. So the movies that I can watch on repeat that always make me feel good are movies that I watched with my mom that she loved, which would be Grease and 9 to 5, because at that time, it's 9 to 5 spoke so much to her life. Can I elaborate on it a little
bit? Sure, absolutely.
And it really, it's interesting how who you're with when you're watching a film can change your opinion of it. I probably watched 9 to 5 with my mom in the theaters 6 times and loved it. And then I brought my dad. They had been divorced many years. And he hated it. And I hated it when I was with him. And so it's funny how, you know, it was obviously the same movie, but the way I felt about it, and I don't know if it's because I'm an actor or work in the arts, but I absorb other people's emotions when I'm watching something with them.
Definitely.
So these two movies bring me the most joy because of the emotions I felt watching them with my mom.
No, and you're not out of line at all with other filmmakers because it's intentional that it says favorite films, not best. It's not what you consider, you know, the technically most well-made film of all time. It's what you care about most,
yeah,
and what speaks to you. And people you saw it with always.
Right.
You're not the first filmmaker to say, I saw this with a parent. And it means a lot to me.
That's nice because I remember watching those movies with my mom almost as much as I remember watching the performance on the screen.
So yeah, makes sense.
That is my favorite. And I think the next question was it what I would recommend people go out of their way to see?
Well, you can do them out of order if you want.
What was the next
Technically,
one?
The next one is a film you think is underrated. As in, you know, the common
so it's the right, wisdom I put it, on it. Wrote it down in order. I think the most underrated film that I know of is a movie called The End of Innocence that was written by and starring, I think directed by, Diane Cannon. And it is such a journey, like a human story of going from emotional poverty to abundance. And most people that I speak to don't know of this movie. And, you know, back when there were VHSs, I would like rent it for people and force them to watch it. And one of these days I'll find it, a digital copy, and own it. But it's a movie that has spoken so much to my life situation and many people that I've shown it to. It's fantastic. And I think it's underrated because people don't know about it.
Sure.
Have you heard of it?
The title is very familiar.
So The End of Innocence, I hope you'll check it out sometime.
I will.
It's a great film. And what was the next one?
The next is overrated. So you get to, it's not necessarily throwing shade at somebody. It's saying, you could even love the film. But the point is, everyone says it's one of the best of all time, or it's an award winner, and you think, it's not, doesn't deserve it.
Okay. So the film that I've seen over the last few years that got so much buzz and it had great casting and it was shot really well, but I still couldn't sit through it, was La La Land. And I was so excited to get the screener because everyone loves it. And then I just couldn't get into it. And I don't know if it was because it was a musical and I didn't prepare myself for it being a musical, or what it was, but I certainly didn't think it was as dynamic as most of my friends thought it was.
That was my impression on my first viewing.
And the second viewing, you liked it?
I can't believe I'll share. First time I watched it, I thought it was horribly overrated. And I was like, it's so flawed. And I had a million reasons why it was bad. And I didn't care for the characters. And I thought it was basically like a bad hour and a half and then a good final 20 minutes. If you made it to the end, I thought the ending was pretty good.
I didn't get there.
Yeah. And then we're on a cruise ship last December from Christmas to New Year's. And it's playing all the time, and we're the kind of people that like tend to put the TV on when you're going to bed. And I ended up seeing the ending again. I love the ending, got emotional. Then we caught it like midway and watched it to the end. And then I watched it once the whole way through, and I'm like, oh my God, I like La La Land now. Wow. And I really didn't like it the first time.
Okay, so that inspires me to give it a second chance. Because also... Maybe,
but you've never given yourself the reward of the last 20. The last sequence is powerfully good.
Okay. And you remember how we spoke earlier about how sometimes who you're seeing a film with can affect how you enjoy it? I was seeing it with somebody who would never, ever in their life watch a musical. And I love Grease. So maybe when I watch it by myself now.
Lester, the one people should seek out?
Yes. Okay. So a film, it's a documentary that I think is fantastic. It's so moving. It's called How to Die in Oregon. Have you heard of this?
I did hear about it.
This is, and again, I know a lot of what we've spoken about has been about the loss of my parents. So I spent a lot of time dealing with cancer, and it shaped so much of me. And I remember when my dad was dying in the hospital, and he was in so much pain. And I was just begging the nurses, like, take this motherfucker out. Like, I could kill my cat. Well, kill, maybe it's not the right word. I could put my cat to sleep gently. Yes. I can't do that with my dad. Like, why are we letting him suffer? But the laws say that you can't. Except in Oregon, at the time, was the only place where they allowed assisted euthanasia. And this was a documentary that followed a number of terminally ill people and how compassionately they were being put to rest. And it showed all sides of the equation. It wasn't just a biased, one-sided event. It was amazing. And I'm hoping more people will see it so that we can spread awareness that, you know, this is something that other states, California, now it's legal.
Oh, is it? They even sometimes refer to it as right to death or...
Yeah, a right to die state.
Yeah.
I think that's what they call us. I don't know that it's actually been enacted here, but it is supposed to be legal now.
I couldn't agree more with you about that a horrible thing that's happened is medicine has gotten great at extending life, but not extending the quality of life.
Yes, agreed.
And it's hopefully, see, it's tragic that your father was in so much pain that there wasn't, like, my friend's grandmother was, like, laughing about how much morphine she was on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just give you a near-lethal morphine drip just to keep you from screaming in pain. And it's just wrong.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, and for myself, I'm not afraid when my time comes to pass. I'm afraid of suffering. I don't want that. I don't want that for other people. And I find it very brave that there are people out there, and the reason California now has allowed this law, even though they're trying to repeal it, is because people have fought for it. Not for them, not for their loved ones, because the reason they're involved in this fight is because their loved ones already suffered. It's too late. But so that you and I don't deal with that for ourselves or our loved ones. So, anyway, if you get a chance to watch How to Die in Oregon.
Is it on Netflix or Amazon?
It was on HBO for a while. It may be on Netflix now. Hopefully it's everywhere. I'll try to find it. It's a really important, compassionate movie.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you went with the documentary, too. Documentaries are so good.
I love documentaries.
Yeah.
Do you know where we can find documentaries that are, like, nominated for Oscars? And
besides Netflix? I know the last Netflix had three of the nominees.
Oh, really?
They have three of them right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've been actually on a little mission to watch them all.
Isn't that how it always works? Seth Colton is a great actor. He's a writer. Everything he makes is comedy. And then when it comes down to his favorite films and the films he wants you to seek out, they're actually really, really emotionally deep and serious. Which is probably why his comedy is so good, because comedy has to be in touch with the things that are really important to us. And then we get to laugh at them. Okay, let's wrap this up. You can go to discoverindiefilm.com and you can see Seth's film Memorial Day there. You can see a lot of other great short films at that website, and you get a lot of links to great feature films at that website. And they're all indie films that I encountered on the film festival circuit. At discoverindiefilm.com, you can find out about Film Invasion LA that happens every June, and the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that comes around every November. And thanks for listening.